You can put up with a lot. More than you think you can. It's funny how it just becomes normal. You cope. Say to yourself, this can't last forever, or others have it harder than me. Toughen up. Just get over it. It was nothing. It happens to everyone. You don't notice at first, but the incidents slowly accumulate and take their toll. I think I used to play this game as a child, when I'd sit in the sand by the riverbank and bury my toes and feet and legs in the sand to cover them up. But then, just when I thought the pile of sand was too high and I would be buried forever, I would wriggle and break free, the sand falling around me. I have lots of worn-out memories like that. I remember dipping my hands into terracotta pots lining the wall, trying to cool down, the sun warm on my skin. The sound of my mother's voice talking to other women as they scrubbed clothes together, running in the fields alongside my father. Maybe I created those memories. I don't know. They're so worn out. I also have memories of lying on soft cotton lyres and harps playing the whip, hitting my skin because I did something wrong, Pharaoh calling me daughter while handing me over to her. I don't know, maybe that didn't happen either. It's hard to tell. But what I do know for certain is that they call me the Egyptian slave. How did that happen? I don't know. Maybe there are too many mouths to feed and my family sold me off. Maybe I helped settle a debt. Maybe I am not Egyptian at all, but a prisoner of war from some other country who ended up in the land of pyramids and pharaohs. Maybe I've always been a slave, born into it. They call me Hagar. The ones who call me by my name are the slaves. It means the one who flees. I'm not sure if that's true, but sometimes it feels like memories flee me. I want so much to remember, to know who I am, where I came from, but it's always slipping out of my hands like sand. Whoever I was, it started in Egypt. That's the only identification I have left now. I am the Egyptian slave. Well, one of many. There's a whole group of us. We worked for the Pharaoh. I thought he was the most powerful man in the world. I thought he was a god. And then one day, this other man arrived in Egypt. He and his beautiful sister, Sarai. They were nomads, free to wander, but famine had struck their land, so they came to Egypt. Of course, Pharaoh also thought Sarai was beautiful and wanted her, so he did. Maybe she said to herself, "You can handle this. Other women have before you, it can't last forever. Others have it harder than me, toughen up, just get over it. It's nothing." She got to flee him because he got sick. This god got sick. He had to ask for help. It turns out that Sarai's brother was actually her husband. That he was in fact more powerful than Pharaoh because there was this god with him. A god they called Yahweh. Yahweh had inflicted this disease to protect Sarai. What a god! To care about a woman like that, it's extraordinary. To mean so much, to be so valuable that a god would come and save you. Nobody saved me. Pharaoh gave me away, along with sheep and cattle and camels, to make Abram and his family leave Egypt so the disease would lift. I was uprooted from all that I knew and all who knew me. When we left Egypt, the wind was blowing, the sand covering our tracks. And I thought to myself, there is another part of me fleeing, blowing away in the wind. But there's also a part of me that wanted to live. So as we entered the wilderness, I adapted. I got used to sleeping in a tent, seeing the stars blazing overhead, being up close to the animals. I worked hard. I tried not to draw attention to myself, lost myself in the work, a good slave, tried to make Sarai happy. I loved when I did a job and she smiled. This new life became normal. I discovered over time that Abram was indeed a powerful chieftain whose wealth just grew and grew, and people flocked to him, wanting to fight for him, be under his protection. I liked listening to the stories he'd sometimes tell. He'd speak about this God, the same one who'd rescued Sarai in Egypt. This God came and spoke to him, told him to leave it all behind and become a nomad. I thought to myself, well, we have something in common after all. We've both left our old identities behind. How strange is that, to have something in common with those who have so much? This God promised outlandish things to Abram. More riches and land and children, lots and lots of children. Of course, you know, some of it had to be nonsense. I mean, as much as I admired Sarai, it was obvious she was too old to have children. It was plain for anyone to see. The other slaves would sometimes sneer quietly about her inability to have children. They said she was cursed. I mean, look what happened when Pharaoh took her to his bed. He got sick. That's what they said, but I don't know, I wasn't so sure. I think I had my head stuck in the sand or something, because I even thought sometimes that Sarai and I could be friends. And then I got my period. And I realized she was not Sarai to me. She was only the mistress, and I was the Egyptian slave. My mistress began to pay attention, examining me, dressing me up in her fine clothes, brushing my hair. She said she had a new job for me. I was to be her surrogate. I was to help her bear a child that would be legally hers. I'd heard of such things before, of course. People gossiped that in some places it was written into the marriage contract that if a wife did not have a child after 2 years of marriage, she would purchase a slave woman for her husband. I even dreamed of it when I was younger. Maybe I could secure someone, I thought, a rich man who would fall in love with me and protect me. But dreaming is different to reality. I wanted to protest when she told me her plans. She'd been given away to Pharaoh. Surely, having gone through that herself, she wouldn't do this to me. But I said nothing. I just bit my lip until it started to bleed. I could see in her eyes that she wanted this. She wanted a child so much. I don't know if you've ever really wanted something like that. Felt like you should do it or be something to prove your worth. You know, sometimes we think, I have to be married. I have to be a mother, otherwise I'm nobody and I'd be filled with shame. I think that's what Sarah thought. I think she thought a child would silence any sneers. A child would make Abram happy. She would no longer be the cursed woman failing her most basic task, being a mother. So I nodded like a good girl and said, of course. I became his wife and still slave at the same time. Sarah no longer looked beautiful to me. She looked old, and so did he. He had more wrinkles up close, his flesh sagging just like the slave men I'd seen. He never spoke to me, never used my name, neither of them did. You can put up with a lot. More than you think you can, you cope. Say to yourself, this can't last forever. Others have it harder than me. Toughen up, just get over it. It was nothing, it happens to everyone. I fled from myself that night. The only clear memory I have is how dry my mouth was afterwards. It was gritty, like I had sand stuck between my teeth. It worked though. Her plan, I became pregnant. And just like that, important. My mistress, she seemed to deflate even further, becoming small in my eyes. For so long, I had feared her, wanting to be her, all at the same time. And now I had done what she could not do, what she had been trying to do for years and years. It just happened to me. I was going to be a mother. People started offering me the best meals, letting me sit down and rest. I was the one that needed to be cared for once. I thought, this is who I'm meant to be. She hated all the attention I was getting, so she began to exert what power remained, weighing me down where she could, increasing my work, telling me I needed to remember my place, that I was still the Egyptian slave, that this child belonged to her. It started in my toes, and it worked its way up my body, this tingling sensation, like sand prickling me underneath my skin. Fear. All I could think was, I just need to get away from this face, those eyes, run, get out of here. So I did. I fled, just like my name. I ran and ran into the desert until I was tripping over rocks and scrubs, exhausted, and everything burned. Then I collapsed near a spring and I cried and cried for it all. For the baby, for feeling like I had so little control, it all poured out until I was empty. Then out of the sand, a voice spoke to me. Spoke my name. Hagar. I'd almost forgotten my name. I looked and there was an angel sitting on the other side of the spring. Hagar, slave of Sarai. Where have you come from? And where are you going? I don't know. I don't know. I can't remember. Can't you see how tired I am? That's what I wanted to say. The sand has covered it all up. Can't you tell me? Where have I come from and where am I going? I have no plan. I just want to not be there anymore in her presence. I just want to not be at all. I'm not sure what I did say to the angel or if I even spoke. I wasn't sure the angel sitting in the sand was real or just a hallucination, but when the angel spoke again, I knew it was not my imagination because what the angel said was the last thing I wanted to hear. Return to your mistress and humble yourself to her hand. I looked then into the angel's eyes. I thought it would be frightening to stare into the eyes of the one who stands in the very presence of God, but the angel's words were so unexpected that I looked and I saw kind eyes. Eyes that saw me. I had a choice here. I could go back and choose to work for Sarai, but why would I? The angel, or was it actually God, sitting in the sand, answered my unspoken question. I'll greatly multiply your descendants, so that they shall be too many to count. Behold, you are with child, and you shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Ishmael, because Yahweh has given heed to your affliction. And he'll be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand will be against him, and he'll live to the east of all his brothers. I thought of those stories Abram had told, and here was the same God coming and speaking to me, promising me things, promising me many descendants like the grains of sand. My line would continue. My son would be strong and wild and know who he was, given a name by Yahweh. Ishmael. Ishmael, God hears. My son, if I went back, would fight and he would live. Nobody would enslave him. He would roam the land and thrive. It would be hard. There would be conflict in his future, but I knew you could put up with a lot. More than you think you can. And just when you think the pile of sand is too high, I knew he would break free. I sneaked another look. Could someone so powerful actually care what happened to me or my son? No human ever had. This God has called me Hagar, not just an Egyptian slave, a person. How could I thank such a being? and then it came to me. I offered the scarred the gift of a name. You are Elroy, the God who sees. Not just here in this moment, but in every moment. In the moments I don't remember, God was with me, coming to me in my worst moment, looking at me with kind eyes. God sees and I saw God. I picked myself up and returned back to Sarai and Abram, and I did give birth to a beautiful boy who I named Ishmael, and I told the other slaves, just like I'm telling you about what happened, go to the spring on the road to Shur. I named it the God Alive Sees Me Spring, so you might know this God too. There's compassion in this God's eyes. If you feel powerless, pray to the God who sees. He sees not just who we are, but the path ahead. Eventually, when my son was 14 years old and my mistress finally bore a child, we were no longer needed. She wanted me to leave. So she made her husband order us to flee, gave us a bit of food and some water, and off we wandered once more into the desert. The water ran out, and I told my son to rest and take shelter under one of the bushes. I could hear him try not to cry. Does God see? Did God really speak to me in the desert? All I could see was my son dying of thirst. All I could see was the sand covering our tracks. The weight of all the years burst over me and I cried once more. And once more an angel spoke. What is the matter, Hagar? Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there. Lift the boy up and take him by the hand, for I'll make him into a great nation. My name once more spoken out loud. Ishmael's name once more spoken. God hears. I opened my eyes, and there before me was a well. Together we gulped down the fresh water. I'm alive sharing this story now because there is a God who cares. Who appears just when you think you can't take any more. This God pulls you out of the sand and brings you to freedom. My feet have blisters from all the running I've done. I have been pulled out of my family, my country, reduced to just being the Egyptian slave, almost forgotten my own name. But I'm not those roles. Do not look at me and think, slave, victim, mother, the one who flees. No, I am a person who met God. A God with kind eyes who knows me, who knows you, who wants a relationship, not just with the powerful, but with you. Take refuge in this one.